This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry, and we're very happy to have you with us today. Last night, just hours before President Trump's second try at a travel ban was set to go into effect, it, like the first, was blocked in federal court. A district court judge in Hawaii froze the ban last night, saying it was rife with religious discrimination. Hours later, a second court, this one in Maryland, also blocked parts of that travel ban. President Trump's reaction was swift. Here he is at a rally in Nashville, Tennessee.
We're going to take our case as far as it needs to go, including all the way up to the Supreme Court. And let me tell you something. I think we ought to go back to the first one and go all the way, which is what I wanted to do in the first place.
Big cheers for President Trump there in Nashville. Leon Fresco is former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department and head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under President Obama. He's here with me from Boston for his take on the latest. Leon, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Todd.
So this is the second round. What does this ruling say? The last time when the courts blocked the travel ban, they did it largely on due process grounds. Not so much this time. This time the court seems to have a problem with the content of the order itself.
Correct. The problem and the difference between the first order and the second order is that the first order included a lot of people who have enhanced due process rights, including people with green cards and people who had visas that allowed them to travel back and forth from the United States to these banned countries. This order is only relevant to people who are applying for a new visa for entry from the six excluded countries. And so the court wasn't going to be able to use those same due process grounds. And so what the court did here is it actually said that the order is not a facially legitimate and bona fide order because the order is one that is drafted for a discriminatory purpose. And in this case, it was for a religious discriminatory purpose. And so the question moving forward for the appellate courts is going to be, is that actually a doctrine that exists in immigration law with respect to people who have never set foot in the United States before? Because there is this hot, contentious debate that people with this kind of status actually don't have access to the courts to make these kinds of religious discrimination claims.
And you even had Judge Derek K. Watson, who was the district judge in Hawaii, who said in his ruling that the travel ban was issued with a purpose to disfavor a particular religion in spite of its stated religiously neutral purpose. Those are his words. And he's basically saying there they can call this national security, but this is meant to ban Muslims.
Right. I mean, the problem with this particular order is not necessarily the text or the justification given in this second executive order. In fact, it's quite likely if this order had been issued by a different president under different circumstances, it'd be quite likely to survive this kind of judicial scrutiny. But the problem is, how do you now divorce this order in the way it's written from the last 6 months of comments that have been given by the administration and by folks within the administration?
So let me stop you there, because we have some of those comments, and you've got this tension now between the order itself, like you say, and the context, the political context with which it was delivered. And the judge himself cited statements like this. Here's Stephen Miller. He's, of course, a senior White House political advisor. Listen to Stephen Miller on Fox News back on February 21st, because this statement is actually cited in the ruling.
Fundamentally, you're still going to have the same basic policy outcome for the country, but you're going to be responsive to a lot of very technical issues that were brought up by the court. But in terms of protecting the country, those basic policies are still going to be in effect.
So, Leon, there's Stephen Miller saying this is the same as the first order. We've just kind of tweaked it. And let me play you President Trump from last night in Nashville, because I think these words might wind up being important, too.
The best way to keep foreign terrorists, or as some people would say in certain instances, radical Islamic terrorists, from attacking our country is to stop them from entering our country in the first place.
So forget about the cheers. The fact that the president is there billing this policy as keeping radical Islamic out of the country, could this hurt him later? Do we know from what the court has said here that this might be a problem?
Well, in general, if you were to say what is the ideal litigating strategy you would want on behalf of the government, you wouldn't want public statements being made of any kind with regard to this case. And that's actually the Ninth Circuit issued a dissent from its original opinion on the travel ban yesterday. And the judges who actually agreed with President Trump's logic in the first travel ban order still said that these statements that were being made, both about the courts and about the case in general, were not helpful to the cause of the president in trying to defend this order. And so these statements don't help, in fact. And so the question is, will a court, whether it be the Supreme Court or either the Ninth Circuit or the Fourth Circuit doing the Maryland case, decide to divorce the statements from the record itself from this second order? Or will these statements continue to be so intertwined with these travel orders that they will never be able to get these travel orders off the ground?
Right. I mean, do we have any sense of how the appeals courts behave in cases like this? We've had one ruling, of course, from the Ninth Circuit. How they behave, sort of contrasting what they call the four corners of the order. Here's what the policy is versus all of these political statements from Stephen Miller, from the president himself, from Rudy Giuliani saying, yes, it's a travel, yes, it's a Muslim ban, but make it legal. Kind of thing.
Well, we're in completely unprecedented territory here. And this is why I think we're in day 60 of the presidency. This was supposed to originally be a 90-day review period to decide to put in a better visa program that wouldn't require a ban. It would be my advice to this administration to get that new visa program up and running and stop with this litigation, only from the standpoint that the authority that the president is invoking here is serious. It's actually necessary in some cases, and to potentially put that authority at risk because of case law that's developing from a bad fact pattern with these statements, I think at this point is not doing anybody a good service here. I think the better move is to put in the new visa program.
Well, that's a fascinating wrinkle that all of the rulings against what the president is trying to do may actually damage his own undisputed authority to set immigration policy. And that's an angle I haven't heard before. Leon Fresco is former Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Obama Justice Department. Leon, thanks again.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.